I'm not a visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 169 for Monday, April 9th, 2018, with Scott and Brian. Wow, you like did a whole pratfall fall on the floor thing. That's cool.
Listen, you got to make them want to watch the video, right?
Yeah, listen, chat room, tell your friends that enjoy the show to come watch it live, because if you don't do that, what are you even doing? I guess the YouTube people can see it, but audio people only, you have no idea what just happened, and I'm not going to explain it. Welcome back to The Boop Show. Scott and Brian here, talking video games, doing our thing. We weren't here last week. Thanks, FilmSack, for effing that up. I blame FilmSack.
Good job, FilmSack.
Yeah, we had to move some stuff around for some people. And
what movie was it even? I can't even remember. Was it even worth it?
Hold on. We did Viva Rock Vegas yesterday. What was it last week?
I can't even remember.
Oh, my gosh.
Was it Money Pit, right? It was it Money Pit?
No, Money Pit was for this one. Oh, my gosh, dude. How do we not remember that?
Here, oh, wow. That's just sad. I watched it and I forgot it.
Okay, hold on. FilmSack.com. Here we go. It is Speed Racer, dude.
Oh, I see. Speed Racer.
It was Speed Racer. Money Pit was right before that, so you weren't that far off. But yeah, Speed Racer, highly forgettable film, it turns out. Anyway, we're here doing the show that we really like doing on Mondays, and welcome everybody. It's good to have those who are live and those listening at home. It's nice to have you here as well, Brian. I did a thing that I should probably confess. Pretend you're a priest inside of a little shrouded room, and only you can't see me.
I don't like this game at all.
I promise it has a happy ending. Wait, that doesn't
work. Oh, wait, this is even worse. I don't like it.
All right, I'll back off my scenario. Instead, you're an old pal, and I just feel like I gotta unload my
We're two dudes who don't know each other at a public stall, and you're out of toilet paper and you decide to open up a little too much.
Okay, I like it. Here it is.
All right.
I dusted off. By that, I mean reinstalled, because there's no dust in a virtual sense. Although there's probably dust in my... I should probably blow my case out. You know, you should do that once in a while just to get all that crap out of there.
That's what the doctor says.
Yeah, blow out your case.
Once in a while.
Yeah. Give your case a good blowout. I dusted off No Man's Sky because I had been hearing that... All of the sort of cumulative updates have been very good and taking that game to a better place than it was ever in at launch. That game still got a stigma, a stink on it from its very poor launch after much hype and then kind of launch. And so I thought I'd check it out. And it was also because I was hearing news of this new big update where they literally are calling the update No Man's Sky Next. Say it needed a subtitle because their update is so big, planned for this summer. So I thought, you know what, I'll get in there. I kind of have an itch for running space errands and stuff.
Was this on the PC?
Yeah, I have the PC version. It's on the PS4 as well.
Okay.
And is now coming to Xbox, which was part of the news as well. But anyway, I head over there and re-downloaded my PC version, which I had uninstalled, I don't know, not long after.
Oh, so you paid full bucks for it.
No, I totally paid full price for it, yeah.
Oh, that's too bad, man, because you can pick it up now for like half bucks.
Yeah, you should get it, and people should pay less than whatever I paid. What was it, $59 at launch or something?
It was $59, yeah. It was full price retail game.
Now, the reason I didn't return it, people would say, well, wait, Steam lets you return it after 2 hours or so many days or whatever it is. I didn't then. Because I felt like even though things were a little rough at launch, and, you know, there was all kinds of gamer freak out about it, I had a feeling that if I just stuck with it for a while, just hung out, they'd come around on it. They would support the game. They wouldn't just let it lie. And that's been true. They've been very supportive of it. They've been putting out big, massive updates. They've been changing kind of what that game is and does. And they had a creative mode, which I'm always a big fan of. I appreciate in these games that are kind of survival-y. And so I cracked it open yesterday or the other day and played a crap ton of No Man's Sky again.
Wait, before you talk about it, though, do you remember when this game launched? Do you remember, like, time frame when it launched?
Yeah, it was like last or 2016, what, July?
Yeah.
Yeah.
August 2016.
Yeah, August, summer. It was a while ago.
Right. That was a good, good bit ago.
Well, a year and a half ago. It's not too far off. Yeah. I mean,
but you waited for a year and a half for it to get good.
Yeah, that sucks. Impressive. They should have waited to launch it in a year and a half when it was good. That's how they should have done it. So I understand the pressures that were on them. This thing showcased really well at the Sony conferences at E3 2 years in a row. And people are like, whoa, what is this? And they're freaking out and everything. I think they had all kinds of pressure. As a small indie team, they were getting leaned on heavily by Sony and everybody else to really, you know, get this thing out earlier than later and blah, blah, blah. Sadly, it was in pretty rough shape when it launched. However, I got to say, I had a really good time with it the other day, and I'm going to keep playing it. I'm going to keep it installed, especially and see what this update is coming up. But if you like basically running errands for planets and dudes who need credits for trading cool minerals and stuff, and I like a game like that, leave the planet surface, fly out there, and the thing, all right, what star system am I need to go to? Ah, sweet, that's where it is. I'll go there and deliver these parts to this guy and get a bunch of money for that. And then I'll go do some more of these kind of missions. That's my jam. I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
It's a really good time to be doing it too, right? Because the new Solo movie is coming out. And what a space errand kind of guy, right?
Yeah.
When he's not racing.
Well, he's a space trucker. You know, he's right. He's out there moving some illicit shit around the universe. And that's why I like these games. And there's a lot of them like this. It's not like this is the only thing. It's just that, I don't know, I like the shape it's in. And it's got a nice kind of chill thing going. I like randomly generated planets. I like the idea that a lot of this stuff has never been, you know, found before. I found three planets the other day that still haven't been found by other people. So all that stuff's still, you know, in there. But admittedly, I started a game that's in creative mode, which means I don't have to worry about food or life. Or running out of the fuel and crap I need to get my ship from place to place. I don't have to do that part of it if I don't want to, because that's not the game I was interested in. The game I was interested in was exploration, freedom, and mission moving. And now I got those three things, yo. So that's what I'm doing. I'm playing that beast, and it's pretty good. Now, lots of people online said, Scott, you should be playing Elite Dangerous because now it's in great shape. Okay, two problems there. Last time I played Elite Dangerous, and I have it installed, was that there were no docking computers then. So docking your ship at any particular space station, when you're just a guy who doesn't go out and buy freaking facial recognition cameras and motion detectors and two flight sticks, I'm not doing all that. All I want is a controller and land my ship. That's what I want to be able to do. Flying out, there's no problem. I can fly, I can warp, I can come out of warp, I can do all the things the game has for you to do. But when it came to landing ships, I was just a nightmare. They'd only give me like an 8-minute window to land my ship. If not, the place would go into high alert because I was some kind of drunk idiot. And I'm banging my ship around and knocking it into turrets and towers and probably killing people for all I know. And I'd have to leave and get chased off by a bunch of pursuer drone things. And it sucked. I hated that. I hated it. I hated it. I couldn't focus on what that game was supposed to be, which was fill my cargo up. I'm going over to the Omega system to drop off this shit. Woo! That's the game, right?
You really are a space trucker, but you have like exceptions. You're like, I am a space trucker, but I can't back up.
I don't want to be a sim. Right? I don't want to play a sim. Like a space sim is not interesting to me. A space cool game is what I'm into. Like I simplify the systems to the point that it's just, I can focus on the gameplay and I don't need to worry about, is my aft thruster poking up the hull of the deal? I hate that. So I'm not interested in that. I know that's for some people. Some people are into that.
You didn't like Lunar Lander back in the day? Wasn't a fan?
No, I was, because that game, even though it was playing with physics and stuff, I like physics. Physics are cool. And I like mechanics that deal with physics and stuff. But that game, if that wasn't a simulation, it was just a lot of I make it land. It was 2D also. 2D.
2D, man.
Two dimensions to worry about, not three. So that was my main thing. Now I know the game now has docking computers. So when you get to a dock and you hail them and they say you're you know, licensed to come on in there, cowboy or whatever. I say, you can just tell the computer to dock you for you and he just does it. Now I know that that's true. So I went and tried to reinstall it. And here's the problem I ran into. I have two Elite Dangerouses on my computer or on my Steam list. Both were uninstalled some time ago. One is Elite Dangerous, the proper game, and the other and some of the DLC. I don't know what. And then the other link is Elite Dangerous Arena. Okay.
Okay.
I go to, I'm not installing Arena. Arena is like a little, a dogfight kind of arena game where you shoot other people, online thing. Right. Which is fine.
Right. That you don't want that. You want to just deliver some crap, right?
Yeah, it's not that I don't want it. It's just I want to deliver cargo. That's what I want to do. Right. I want to discover it. I want to go through a nebula and can't figure out why my sensors don't work and then find out there's a pirate there. Maybe I have to kill him, but I got to get my cargo to the other.
Now, is this always true of Scott Johnson, or is this just a phase that Scott Johnson's going through? Because this sounds a little bit like Farm Together in Space. It's kind of like...
Well, Farm Together is mostly harvesting and not delivering. This is mostly delivering, but I don't know why it's a thing for me. It's just a, like, did you ever play, what was that one called? Shoot, came out in like 99, 2000. It was a, Microsoft published it. It was called Freelancer. That's it.
Oh, yeah, Freelancer. I love Freelancer. Okay. That was a great game.
Freelancer, that's the game I like. I like a game like that. I'm hooked on those kind of games. They're great. They rub a very specific itch. Now, to answer your question, is this a phase? Yeah, but it's a phase I kind of vacillate to it once in a while. Every once in a while, I'm like, ooh, I could really go for some of this. And then I kind of get my fill and I back off for a while and I'm playing fantasy games or something else. And then I want to get back to this. And there are plenty of great space games out there. And I've tried almost everything. And some people say, oh, you should be playing Eve. Because if you want to do that, it's all you have to do in Eve. Like, no, Eve's like... People are going to kill me in Eve. I don't want to go in there. I don't want to massively... I want to be it. I want to be the guy in the universe. I don't need a bunch of other people.
Yeah. Have you ever played... There's a game called Vega Strike.
No.
It's a first-person space trading and combat similar game.
How old?
This was... Oh, 2002. Microsoft Windows. Linux. The reason why I know about it is because I was looking for Linux games back in the day. And Vega Strike... was one of those open source 3D action kind of space games, and I think if you got past the oldness of that game, I think you would have a lot of fun with it. I think
Vega Strike open, and now it's open source.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I may have to check that out. Look at that.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of old school, but it's kind of cool. And there's an MMO tangent to it as well. Yeah. I'm not sure how well supported it is at this point.
Boy, these screenshots are pretty.
It was a lot of fun.
These screenshots are really ugly, though, man. Ooh.
Oh, they! It is an ugly game.
Yeah.
However, the playing is fun. I mean, there's a lot of ugly games.
Well, there's a lot of ugly games. Okay. You're not wrong. There's definitely ugly games out there. This is one of them.
Hey, it was 2002. What'd you want, man?
It's fine. I get it, but. Okay. Right. Oh, back to my point. So I go to install the normal game because I'm going to play that again.
Right.
It says it's installed. Not Arena, mind you. The main game. So I'm like, all right, that's the game I want. I go in to hit play. It takes me to a launcher. The launcher is... Everything on the launcher says Arena. I'm like, I didn't install Arena. And it says Arena's not installed. But yet here's this thing that says all this Arena stuff. Oh, well, I'll log in and play anyway. I play. I go in. And now the game says Arena, and it's all Arena. There's no normal mode in it. So something's wrong with either Steam or the way that they seed the executables and the file install files, or something's going on. Something's jacked because they can't even install that thing. So I said, F it. I uninstalled it all again. And this moved me on to Rebel Galaxy, which I already liked and always like. It's 2015. That's when that game came out. I played the living crap out of it when it hit. These are old Diablo developers that made it. Hellgate London guys, stuff like that. You're in space and you run.
Look at the ratings on this thing. It's
and you run missions.
Overwhelmingly.
And the music they play is all like Southern rock, like, you know, Sweet Home Alabama style. You know, what's that called? It's got a word to it. Not country rock, but it's...
I know what you're talking about. It is kind of country rock, but it's
kind of Freebird. What's that stuff? Those guys are all from Alabama. What's Freebird?
Southern rock.
Southern rock. There you go. And they play that the whole time, kind of like you're on the Firefly kind of vibe to it. It's very feels like a western or something.
Or maybe Bon Jovi did esque sounding in the Enterprise, right?
Yeah, what was that? Except that he sucks.
That's not really Southern rock, is it?
Well, it's poopy rock, is what that is. But I understand what you're saying. Like, I'm wanted, wanted, the whole thing. It's kind of like that.
So I'm Enterprise.
I'm traveling all over the universe, delivering stuff. There's a story going on, killing pirates, upgrading weapons. Like, I love that stuff, and I got all into that again. That's probably just the game I should be playing anyway.
Right.
But that's what I did. I got kind of like this crazy space need happening, and I decided to just kind of go for it. So I did. So between No Man's Sky and Rebel Galaxy, those are kind of my two jams right now, and I'll keep messing about with both of them.
Well, let me tell you about one of the games that I don't know why I'm still playing it, because I got to a certain point where I feel like I am just grinding for nothing. Ooh. I'm still playing Phantom Pain Metal Gear Solid 5.
What's wrong with that? That's a good game.
It is a fantastic game. I love it, and I can't seem to stop playing it. But every once in a while, I look over at the clock, and I realize what a grind I'm in.
Oh, you're in a huge grind. That game's all about grinding.
It's so much grinding. But it's a good, fun grind, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I don't seem to be progressing any.
Yeah.
And well, also, hold on 1 second, because my Steam just launched, and it decided to update everything. So
that's why your internet, that's why your voice went a little crackly there. I get you.
That's probably exactly why. Is that better?
Yes, it is, actually.
Is it getting there? Okay, good, good. Okay, yeah. So back to the Phantom Pain. Yeah. First of all, I should have knew it was going to be a sludge fest, because starts out, there's an hour's worth of crawling before you even start the game.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got into it, I thought it would kind of pick up, and it did a couple of times. You know, you find out you have like a home base. It's kind of like in the middle of the ocean. You got your little home base, and you got your little guys there, and they're all like, "Yes, sir, boss. What can we do for you, boss?"
Mm.
And it's like, I tell you what you can do. You can go work some of those quests for me instead of making me do all of them.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that long. The climbing, the crawling stuff wasn't that bad, was it?
It was an hour.
No.
Literally, there is no way to go faster in that opening scene where Jack Bauer is in the bed across from you. There is no way to go faster. You literally are crawling on the floor.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't think it lasts an hour. I think you're just sort of.
It is. No, it's an hour. It might be an hour 15, because when I finished it, it says. It says you just finished playing, and it says 1 hour and something. It gives you all the statistics and stuff. And then I thought maybe I just played it super slow, so let my kids play it. Mm-hmm. And it was like 1 hour, 15 minutes. It was just, you can't go any faster than that.
Yeah.
On that first chapter.
It's a little rough. I remember that being a little bit.
Right.
Rough. I played that.
I feel like I'm kind of doing the same things over and over again. I'm running into little towns. I'm rescuing somebody. It's either from the Soviets or, you know, it's the, you know, or some other faction over here, and I've got to go in, and I can never find him. And I'm like, where is he at? I can't find him anywhere, because he's the same. You know, he's all the hostages are covered in dirt bags, you know, like sacks. And it's like, I can't even see you. You're like against the wall. They don't like scream like help or anything like that. So
dirt bags.
And I also feel a little bit cheated with that game, because I feel like I'm always doing it wrong, and maybe I am.
Well, wait, explain what you mean. You feel like you're doing it wrong. What do you mean?
Okay, so every time I get intel from, you know, home base, they always go, oh, you got a couple options here. You can mark everybody and you can kind of sneak in town and stealth in and stuff. Or, you know, you can go in guns a-blazing. But if you do, they'll alert everybody. And I'm like, okay, so how do you stealth around? You really can't too much, because the only thing so far that I've gotten, and maybe I've missed some drops or something, but all I have is my little trank gun. Mm. And you have to be very close to shooting by the trank gun, and it's just like impossible for me to stealthily get in there and complete the objective stealthily. I can get a few guys on the outside, you know, like on the outer edge, I can get those guys, but by the time I get into the inside, I'm doomed. So well, I just open it up.
Your job is supposed to be Well, you're supposed to do a bunch of these in succession, and if you're not getting through like one or two of these, you might want to not play this game anymore, because that's the game. Like, it's,
I refuse to think that this game is not for me.
Yeah, I get it.
Because I'm having fun. As long as I'm having fun, I'm going to keep doing it. But I do look back every time I get through, and I'm like, man, I didn't make any progress at all. Mm. I played for like 2 hours, and I'm like, what did I do? I airlifted a couple of people. By the way, I love the airlift thing where you go up to a character and you put a little parachute on a little weather balloon thing. They go, shoop.
Yep, they go, what?
Fly up in the air.
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah, it's got lots of goofy Japanese ideas in it. I really like it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that game.
But it's a lot of fun.
Really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I wish I could progress a little faster. I don't know why, because I'm enjoying it. It kind of reminds me of some of the grinding of Red Dead Redemption. It's grindy.
Really?
But it's fun.
I didn't think Red Dead was grindy. Red Dead was more story beat, like finish a story, keep going, you know, get into a camp for a reason, then interrogate the dude in there, and then... You know, then get out of there.
This is true. But I think lots of times I end up accidentally going into the wrong areas, or I accidentally head in the wrong direction. Next thing I know, you know, I'm doing some kind of side quest that I don't think anyone's ever done. I'm like, what is going on?
Mm.
So that's on me. It's not on the game developer.
Sure. Speaking of Red Dead, I can't wait for 2. I'm so ready for 2.
Right. Have you played any other Metal Gear Solid? Because there's 2 parts in 5, maybe 3 parts, and I've only played Phantom Pain. I was thinking about picking up. I've got it for the PS4 because that's.
What are you talking about? Like, are you talking about other Metal Gear Solid games?
5, because there's
several, got it.
Yeah,
not DLC, but kind of right. Like there was that game, and then there was. Well, before that game came out, there was this thing called Zero Met Phone. Seriously? Hold on. Not answering that. Metal Gear Time Off. Time to go Zero Time Hour.
Zero. That's it. Zero. What was it?
Zero Go Time Zero.
How fast can I type in?
Chat room, do you know this?
There's the Phantom Pain.
Ground Zero, that's it. Ground Zeros, actually. It had had S's on it, which makes no sense. But yes, it was called Metal Gear Ground Zeros. And this was more like the demo playable thing that came out before this game. So it was like the lead up to this. So the idea was, if you liked that, you're probably going to like what's next. And then the full game came out. As far as I know, that was it. What else is there?
I think you're right. I just assume maybe there might be more. But yeah, those are the two that I had looked.
Maybe there's DLC or something. I don't know. Maybe.
Right. So I think you're right. It's probably just those two. But I was looking at, I saw Ground Zeroes on sale the other day. I meant to pick it up for the PC.
I thought that was free. That costs money? That costs money?
Oh, yeah. It's still like $20. What? But it wasn't on sale. On sale, it was like $9.
Okay. Well, that's dumb. That thing shouldn't cost anything.
It should be.
All
games should be free.
Well, it's not a whole game. It's like a single mission. It's not even like a full game. It's that should not cost money.
Right.
That's terrible. But whatever. I am excited about.
What people are saying.
I'm excited about what's his name's next game.
Konami.
Konami published it, but he's doing it somewhere else now. The guy that made all the Metal Gear games. Can't think of his name. Kobayashi Maru. What'd you say? What'd you call him?
Kojima.
Oh, Kojima. Yeah. That's it.
Yes,
it's not Kobayashi Maru.
What you said.
He's great, and he's weird, and his Death Stranding deal looks crazy, and I can't wait to give that a shot, but we're probably, that's not even this year, that's like 2020 or 2021 maybe or something, I think.
Right.
So there's a lot of high expectations about that.
Got I'm looking now. Oh, by the way, I sent an email earlier. We got some free codes. Don't let me forget to give them out. I sent it to the boopshow@gmail.com.
Oh, what are they? What for are they? What games?
Oh, it's some good stuff. It's from this month's Humble Bundle Monthly.
Sweet. So here's what you're going to do, chat. We'll give them to you after the show today. We'll do a little quick 5-6 minute post show where we give out a bunch of codes. So the people at home listening don't have to feel bad that they didn't get a code that they're listening to. So that's what we're going to do.
That's a good idea.
Anyway, yeah, free code. So stick around for that. That'll be good. All right. Well, that's fun for you. You mentioned Farm Together earlier. I'm still playing that damn thing.
Right.
I harvested a bunch of leeks today. And also
leeks.
Some leeks. I guess that's like a vegetable.
Yeah, that's
thing.
That's that vegetable. Yeah.
I don't eat a lot of those.
You ever had a leek?
I think I have. I think I've sprung a few leeks. In Farm Together, and I've expanded things greatly. I cracked $1.5 million in revenue for my farm.
Wow.
Yeah, I got that much cash reserve, and I also unlocked a whole bunch of more. Oh, I finally got I built a whole bunch of beehives. And the beehives collect honey, and once a day or so, maybe it's once every 2 days, I forget. Maybe it's 24 hours, but you can go harvest this honey from this these beehives. And then if you have a beehive or if you have a honey stand, you go and you sell your honey, and you get these ribbons. And the ribbons are really hard to get currency because ribbons let you buy really expensive stuff for your farm.
Just like in real life,
yeah. Real farm. I can buy hot spots like fast travel points. I can buy sprinkling systems for some of my places where I don't want to keep watering things, which would be really good for these flower patches they just came out with. Anyway, I bought a beach ball that literally spawns in the world. And every time I log in to check on my farm, I can go kick that ball around everywhere I go. And when I leave, I come back later, it's reset in its little spawn point. But it's so dumb. It's just this stupid ball and I can go play with it. It's all weird, goofy stuff. I love that game a lot. I really, really like it. Right. And I'm still playing it, and I check it every day. And sometimes I'm only in there for just a quick sweep of the trees. Like go to all the orchards, get all my fruit, check the beehives. If they're ready to harvest, get those. Go, you know, feed the chickens, feed the pigs, feed the horses, feed the alpacas. I have some alpacas now. Make sure they're all fed and or harvested if their time's up or whatever, and then get out. Like, It's like what these games used to be before mobile and free-to-play ruined everything.
Right.
Because this doesn't have any of that. It's just play it and build your stuff and earn your things and do your quests. And it feels great, and I really like it. And it looks good. So I'm
right. What do you think the agricultural community thinks about this game?
I don't know. They probably don't even know
about
it.
Maybe a little unrealistic portrayal.
Well,
know?
Do you think... I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe so. I don't know. I would love to see a YouTube video where instead of like having kids play nostalgic games from the 80s, we take Farm Together out to some, I'm going to go ahead and say it, some hicks and see what they had to say.
I bet none of them have anything to say. That's my thinking. I'll bet they don't give a rat's a.
I think they're a lot smarter and a lot savvier than I'm joshing about.
Well, I just don't know if they're into video games. They may not know that the whole farming video game subgenre even exists. For all they know, they're right. Just like, oh, I'm just farming. What are you talking about? Video games. I got no time for that. I got to feed these pigs. I'm looking at some video of it now. Chat room, you can kind of see. This is a very basic farm. In fact, it looks like they just started. Mine's way more decked out than this. I should have gotten some video of this, but.
When can I watch you farm together?
Oh,
I
sure.
mean, do you ever broadcast that on your Twitch channel?
Yeah, I get in there and do that sometimes. Yeah. I totally do that. And if other people have the game, they can come to my farm and help me harvest stuff and plant stuff and all that. Or I can go to their farms, do the same. And it's this stylized, goofy, good looking, polished, fun.
I'm gonna be honest with you, Scott.
Yeah.
I've heard you talk a lot about Farm Together for the last couple of months.
Yeah.
And I've avoided buying it because it's like you're one of those friends, you know, that plays a game. And as soon as you get the game, that friend quits playing.
I've heard and this before. So, I don't know if that's true. Right? Is it true?
We all have a friend like that, right? You kind of go like, oh, it's like they talk about it. And like, I'm not going to play it. I'm not going to play
but
it.
But am I that guy? Do I do Quit. That? Name a game I've done that to you with. Name one.
Oh, my God.
Anything. I'll take whatever
every
you got.
Every game ever. It would be impossible to pin it down because I would have to basically list every game in my library that I have only played 5 minutes of because right. I'm like, oh, well, Scott's gone now.
I can totally see that. Let's totally see that.
Except for stuff like World of Warcraft. You're always there.
Yeah.
Blizzard stuff, I think, is the exception. I can generally count when I get a Blizzard game that you're going to be.
Oh, yeah, I'm always in on Blizzard stuff. I mean, that's the other thing I never really talk about on the show, that all these games I'm experiencing and messing with and tinkering with, there's always Diablo, Heroes of the Storm, World of Warcraft, something happening, Overwatch, happening in between all this anyway. Like, that stuff's just a given. So I don't usually talk about it because it's literally part of my blood. I think I bleed those games. I don't know.
Blood.
So on mobile, speaking of mobile and how I think that, I mean, it'd be great if Farm Together made it to mobile and stayed a premium game and not a free-to-play game. That would be really cool. But you played something called Sally's Law, and you claim it made you cry. I have to know what the hell this is.
I said tear up. So this past week, a game popped up. I forget exactly where, but you know me, I'm always looking for a deal. And I saw this game called Sally's Law. Never heard it before. It's a mobile game. I believe it's for the Android and the iOS.
It's also on Switch.
You're right. It's also on the Switch. So I was like, oh, and people were all like raving about it. It's like, oh, it's a great game. It's beautiful. I'm like, okay, so I check it out. And when you start the game, you're Sally, and there's a little backstory as you start rolling because you're a ball. So you're this head, basically. Or you ever seen Weeble Wobbles?
Sure. They wobble, but they don't fall down. Yeah.
Yeah, those kind of guys. This is like one. What's another? Zoom Zooms? They're kind of just like round heads, right?
What the hell is a Zoom Zoom? I haven't even heard of that.
T-S-U-M. It's like these cutesy little round-headed things. So never heard of it. All right, yeah. So Sally's Law. So you start out, and there's this beautiful little piano tingy-tingy music, and you got Sally, and she's rolling along, and as she rolls along, you have to, you know, hit the screen to make her jump over certain areas. But for the most part, you're just kind of going through, and all of these doors are opening up for you. And I'm thinking, oh, so this is going to be kind of like, you know, it's going to get progressively harder as you go along.
Yeah. Are these people, by the way, are they just obese, or are they just, why are they round? What's going on with that?
Because they need to roll, Scott. They're like balls. They got to roll.
Okay.
So, yeah, so they're rolling. At the same time, there's like this dialogue across the top of the screen. There's, you know, you're reading along, and it's talking about Sally and her father and how they spend time together. And, you know, and it's kind of painting this beautiful picture of Sally and her father and how they are like two peas in a pod and how they're so great together. And so you get to the end of the first one. You didn't really do anything. So all of a sudden, now you're playing as Sally's dad, and you're on a level above her that you couldn't see before.
Okay.
And Sally is rolling along and doing the things that you did, and you've discovered that the father is actually opening all the doors. He's actually opening all the little obstacles. He's moving them out of the way.
So I'm watching video of this right now. Can you tell me how you're controlling it on mobile? Oh, tapping?
It's just a no. Well, yeah, you tap to jump, but it's an endless runner.
Okay, it's always moving.
It's an endless roller.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right, it's always rolling to the right at a certain speed. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the gimmick, is when you do that. So at up top, you're trying to get to different little areas. You kind of like moving around in like a maze. You kind of got your little ball guy going in different areas to unlock the door so Sally can get through. And by chapter two, your father's dead and his ghost is still all this stuff. And it's pretty quick, so I'm not giving anything away here.
It sounds a little dark, doesn't it? A little dark?
It's a little bit dark, but in chapter two, Sally goes from being a kid to being an adult and kind of feeling abandoned just a little bit because her father has passed away. But he's still there. He's still there opening the doors and solving the puzzles for Sally. Because if you don't open the door in time, Sally hits the wall and she goes, what? And her whole universe is just brought down around her. It's like, oh, I'm not protected anymore.
Oh, I see how this works. I'm looking at some screens where he rolls back and flips switches.
Yeah, you got to flip all these switches.
And who are you controlling, her or him?
You're doing both. You're controlling her on the first run through. So there's two run throughs for each level. So the first time you go through and you have to decide her path and where she'll go, because some obstacles are different colors. And so you may go through there, and you have to remember that, because when you're playing dad, you have to open up those gates. They're that color.
Oh, that's super interesting. I'm getting it. I'm seeing what they're doing here. His job looks complicated.
His job sucks, but it's like, because you got this easy little strolling thing for Sally. She's such a spoiled brat. You know, it's like, oh, this is so easy. Whatever. And then you have to do the dad thing. And when you fail, oh, my gosh, it's just the noise.
Oh, it's Japanese. Hold on. I want to hear this voice again.
Japanese.
I want to hear that again. Wait. that went to a different screen. I want to hear them talking. Oh, well.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah, it's fun.
Oh, here we go. Unexpected phone call. Oh, this is adorable. I kind of want to play this.
It's good.
How much is it on mobile, and what's it cost on Switch? Do you know?
I want to say I pay 99 cents, but I don't know what it is today because that was like last Monday.
Did you play it on the Android?
I played on the Android.
All right. Correct. I see it's on iOS as well. Looks like it's also on, not on Steam. Yeah, I can't find it on Steam. Looks like
I wouldn't want to play on Steam. It is definitely a, you know, Android, iOS kind of Switch game.
Hmm. I'm into it, dude. It looks good. I like the kind of stuff.
It's a good time.
Yeah,
good
I like
time.
It a lot.
Also, and when I wasn't playing that, because I don't feel right playing that on the toilet, it just feels kind of like sacrilege.
You don't like anything with balls moving around on the toilet? I get it.
No, it's just, yeah, there's all that moody music, all that. I don't need to be crying when I'm on the toilet. People have questions. What are you doing over there? So there is another game I'm playing also. It's called Yellow, and it's been around for a while. Yeah. Have you played this game?
No.
Okay, so it's a very basic game. It is like it is basically everything is yellow, and you're just constantly trying to figure out what taps or slides or pinches or parts of the screen you have to touch to light up like yellow shapes on the screen. And it gets more complicated than that because sometimes you have almost like a yellow bar going across the screen, and if you have to hit certain parts of the screen, and then it'll fill that area in, and you have to fill in the complete screen with yellow. So every puzzle ends with a full screen of yellow.
Yeah, I see that. That's cool. And it looks like at first you don't really know what you're doing, but you just start kind of moving things, and you're like, oh, okay. If I click these things, I can fill the screen. Or if I move this lever will turn and a big bucket of yellow paint will fill the screen or whatever.
And I was going along pretty well on that one. And of course they increase in difficulty as you go along, but you learn things in certain maneuvers. And I was very excited. They also have red now. So I don't think it's any different other than it's red.
See, so look at you wasting your time on mobile stuff.
I wasn't doing much on the toilet anyway, so might as well play some yellow.
Yeah, why
now,
not?
If they had brown, if they had brown, that would be a little too much on the spot there for for the
because you know it's the color of poop. That's the deal there. Poop. I forgot to mention this one. I downloaded this game for $3 on Steam. $3 normally, you're like, oh, some phone thing? Nope, I got this on Steam. It's called Door Kickers, and it's actually been around since like 2013. I'd never heard of it. It's some total single guy in his garage. Well, I don't know if he's single. I mean, one guy. I don't mean like his marital status. Anyway, built this game called Door Kickers, and it is just kind of a really simple top-down, how do I put it? Like a strategy, turn-based strategy game, I guess.
Right.
Best way I can explain it is it's almost like Counter-Strike, but overhead. And I really had fun. Surprising amounts of fun were had with Door Kickers. It's so cheap. Normally, I think it's more than that normally. Like, maybe it's 12 or something, but...
Yeah, it's $20. I'm looking now. It's $20.
Yeah, it's like top-down Counter-Strike, but it has kind of a... What's that game? Hotline Miami kind of thing going on where you come around a corner and you better hurry up and kill that guy and throw a flashbang in there first and blind them all and then run in and shoot kind of deal. It's like that. I'm going to skip this video ahead for the chat so they can see it. But you have these scenarios like, okay, here's a room with a house with a bunch of rooms in it. You need to try to kill everybody in there. Try not to kill the whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And then you just kind of go. And boy, this video really likes to talk before you play. You can plan out your routes. You can kind of click and drag and say, okay, go here, move here first, then right click your icon and say, throw a grenade. Now throw it in this direction. Then you can hit the space bar and they'll do their moves. So they'll just go and do what you told them to do. And so if it sucks and they die, you can do it over and try a different plan. Or you can do it in real time.
It's like a top-down XCOM kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of, but I wouldn't call it XCOM because you can also move in real time, and there's no limit to the amount of moves you make. So you can move as much as you want to. It's super simple and kind of, you know, I mean, graphically, there's nothing fancy going on here. It's right. It's just real basic, but the gameplay is really good and fast and intense. Like, I just can't see where these bad guys are. And the goal, you want to always try to, oh yeah, that guy's going to die. You always want to try to get in there quietly, stealthily, so that you're not the one being shot. Right. They get harder and harder and harder. There is a way to unlock some campaign stuff later, as well as make your own levels and play other people's levels. So there's that kind of stuff. But the reason this is even coming up, and the reason that it ended up on the top charts again, and why I noticed it, because I'd never heard of it before. Apparently this was well received by those who played it. And the only request people had was, hey, if you add multiplayer to this, you maybe have the best game ever made.
Nah.
So they added multiplayer. I haven't tried it with anybody else because no one else I know has this, but I could see how the co-op in this would be incredibly good. So that's something I kind of want to get into. And maybe the multiplayer is versus. I don't actually know. But it's cool. It's called Door Kickers, and it's exactly what you think, kicking in doors and killing terrorists and stuff. So
hey, you know what, No, I love the most. Mm. I love when I scroll down to the reviews, and there is actually a review by friend.
Friend or somebody
yeah,
named
a friend. By your friend. Recommended by your friend.
Oh. Who was?
Yeah, so if
you... Who did? Me? Was it me or somebody else?
Nope, because you didn't recommend it. No, this is Josh. Bedivere. He says, back in 2015, Door Kickers is an excellent blend of strategy, tactics, puzzle solving, and nice blend of RPG elements as character leveling. It has the feeling of games like XCOM or Jagged Alliance. I think that was the other one I was trying
Jagged
to
Jagged Alliance is a good combo, yeah.
Yeah.
The feeling is right. You're not getting anything super fancy graphically or anything like that, but it's clear that somebody was very focused on gameplay, and it feels really good. I like it. I'm going to keep playing that. I might even stream some of that because it's pretty intense and it makes me swear really loud when I play it. People like when I swear on this show. Guess what else? Guess what else I did? Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, it's, you kind of have to choose your personality when you're playing games for people. It's like, do you have that sweary kind or are you more laid back?
Yeah.
And I think you benefit from the frustrated gamer. Suits you the best.
Well, nobody's watching me because I'm awesome. I know that.
Right.
Nobody watches me stream games because I'm really good at them. They watch me because I squeal and scream like an idiot when I play something scary or anger inducing. I also cracked open an app that, okay, you know, I like games where I gotta cook stuff. All right. Maybe it's this farm thing. Yeah. I don't know, but I like to prepare meals, cook, serve delicious. One of my favorite mobile and desktop games in a very long time. I just loved it. It's like, oh, you're looking for pizza, are you? With the pepperoni there. Just make it for them, cook it, give it to them. They're happy. They give you a tip. And by the end of the day, I can afford a new stove, right? I love that kind of stuff. Just a thing of mine that I'm into. I dig it. There's a billion of those. Some of them are free to play to hell and back, and they suck. There are plenty that are good. Cook, Serve, Delicious 1 and 2 are good examples of how to do it right. So if you've never played those are really good. But I did find a free-to-play game that surprised me.
Oh.
It's called Pico Sushi.
Pico Sushi.
Chat room, I'll show you just a taste of this here. Let's see if we got any audio.
Just a taste of this sushi. I hope you're allergic to shellfish.
Look at this. Pecky Pecky or Peck Peck Sushi or however it goes. Peko Peko Sushi. And it's these cute little, 8-bit looking kids. And they're like, yeah, I'm going to go get some sushi, yo. And they go into the sushi place and your job is to give them sushi. And so they run down the aisle and they show above their head what kind they want. And you have to drag the one they want to them. And you can do combos and give them two for one. And that's a really good deal. They love you for that. But if you wait too long, they get pissed and leave. And then you miss out on the score you would have gotten. And it gets harder and harder. And you unlock new sushi treats and things that people can buy. And it's the version I'm playing is English, obviously. But the video I'm showing right now is Japanese. It's stupid fun. It shouldn't be as good as it is. It's very Japanese, but in the best way possible, whatever I mean by that. It's on Google Play. It's on iOS, and it's great. Peko Peko Sushi, and it's great.
I do like me some food games. I'm not going to lie.
I played way too much of this. I sat there in bed the other night. Hours went by. And it's the simplest thing. It's just these little characters want a piece of sushi. So you drag the right one over and go, oh, you're looking for that, are you? That's it. That's the whole thing.
It fulfills your desire, obviously, to deliver goods to people. You chose the wrong profession, Scott. You needed to be a delivery man or possibly a farmer, but most likely a sushi giver outer.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, your official. Hey, you know, there was one game that I haven't talked about. I wasn't sure if you'd be able to handle my VR talk.
Oh no!
But shit. I want to talk about a game because we got a message on Twitter and it was asking me about VR games. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I kind of like VR games, but I think Scott started a little sooner than me, so it got burnt out a little sooner than me. But I'm still having fun. I'd purchased Duck Season about a month ago, and I had not had a chance to play it yet. And so this past weekend, I did play Duck Season, and can I say, it was fantastic.
Really,
it was a great experience. It was a great, unique experience for me.
Hold on a second. This is basically Duck Hunt from the NES, but in 3D VR, right?
It is way more than that, but yeah, you're right. That is the catch. So it's like, oh, Duck Season. So it's kind of like, you know, the old Nintendo game, or Duck Hunt. So the first thing you do when the game starts up, you're in VR, you're in your little virtual environment, you're in this home, and it's decked out in late 80s kind of everything. Like the furniture is late 80s. The TV you're playing the game on is late 80s, early 90s. And so you have your mom comes in and she's like, hey honey, I got a one day rental of Duck Season. And you're like, hot diggity dog. And so you're unlike some VR games. Okay, so yeah, you remember Blockbuster did those one day rentals
back? Yeah, I remember that.
I was kind of like, oh, I don't know if I want to play Duck Season because I'm kind of in a sit-down kind of mood. This game's a sit-down game. I love that sometimes.
I do too. I don't always want to be standing or moving around for my VR experiences.
I was very excited because I was kind of tired and I was like, oh, I just want to just kind of sit down. So you really are. You're like a 10-year-old kid and you're sitting on the floor in your late 80s, early 90s home, and you've got this off-brand Atari console. I think it's like King Max or something like that. What's it called? I forget now, but it's something like that. So they never use any of the proper names for anything, right? Mm. So you got this old-timey console, and you get the game. You got to plug it in through use your little virtual motions, and you plug it in, and there's this video that starts up on this little CRT old school, like maybe 19-inch TV, and it kind of lays out, how to shoot your gun and that kind of stuff, but it's all video. Like, it looks like somebody took a VHS and recorded this stuff. And that's what is so great about this game is it's so authentic late 80s, early 90s, but it's got this tongue-in-cheek kind of modern age joke about it.
Tell me what you like about...
So the first thing you do is...
Because it looks like Duck Hunt. The dog pops up and everything. Right?
Right. So you remember that in Duck Hunt, right? The dog popped up everything and he was constantly getting in your way and then going, laughing.
Yeah.
Real pisser, right?
Yeah.
So they took that character and they made him your foil. He doesn't look like the original dog. Instead, it looks like a dude dressed in a dog outfit that looked like the dog, which is super creepy.
Yeah.
And that's where this game goes. This game goes with super creepy. So you jump in right away and you go into the TV and you do duck hunting and it's kind of like, did you ever see Cabin Fever?
The one with, the one that what's his name made, Eli Roth, that one.
Right. Yeah. And so you got this world that their ducks are flying to the edge of the screen. They're hitting like the grid and then they turn back around and you have to shoot them and you're thinking, this is pretty dumb. You're like, this is kind of difficult. This is, at least on the old Duck Hunt, I could at least, get the gun right up against the TV and, shoot stuff. and I'm not that great at it. So, but once you get through at that first level, things start kind of getting weird. And so essentially what happens is you ever play Five Nights at Freddy's?
No.
I bet they hate this comparison, but there are but there are some comparisons there for that, because this dog kind of slowly escalates into this stalking creature who is apparently some type of spirit that is going around and killing families in the neighborhood.
What?
Yeah. So it goes from you at home on this nice sunny afternoon with your mom in the kitchen behind you fixing food and paying bills and stuff. They paid a lot of attention to detail about that kind of stuff. So it is really immersive to make you feel like you're a 10-year-old during the late 80s, early 90s. And the thing about sitting down all the time is they give the character like these force powers. So you're in a pretty large room, larger than I would be able to map out my VR. You know what I mean? So you have your little bounding box in your VR, and you have to have a really big area if you have a really big room. Well, this kind of takes care of that by giving you these force powers where you can kind of point to something off in the distance, and it'll come, if you choose it, it'll come flying at you.
Oh, I don't. I'm looking at a screen of him being all evil with red eyes. I don't like this at all. I don't like this at all. Oh, man,
I'm telling you, it is so much fun, and it is so layered. I mean, they've got magazines on the floor, and you pick them up, and they're kind of, it's like they're all Nintendo Power, except they're, you know, rebranded to be this game console's branding. And I mean, you have a ton of different game cartridges on the floor as well. In addition to your Duck Season game, you've got like Pizza Boy.
Yeah.
And so you can put Pizza Boy in the console, and it'll bring up a little mini game called Pizza Boy, and it kind of looks like Paperboy, except you steer the pizza guy in his car left and right by shooting it with the gun. And so you instantly fail, and you got the police after you. But I failed every time on it. I guess I couldn't stop.
What a weird idea. I'm kind of impressed with where they take this. This is super interesting.
It is real deep. They've got there's
your truck's
all kinds
on fire
of,
in this thing. Jeez.
The truck's on fire. There comes a point where you have to you have to fight the dog when he's shooting lasers at you. So
yeah, I'm looking at it now. Look at him rising out of the thing. Oh my lord!
Yeah, it is so immersive and so fun. It's been probably the best VR experience I've had as far as just flat out fun. Forget about, you know, the fact that it's VR. This is just a fun kind of crazy game. And you have a VCR, and you can take a bunch of different tapes. Yeah. And you ever seen the Kazoo Kid?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they've got a tape in there with the Kazoo Kid, and they've got like these old, reimagining of like late 80s TV shows where they just have these live actors and they're portraying all this crazy stuff. They got their own crazy theme songs. It is super layered, really layered, really gets you into the game.
All right.
But I can't say enough about it. I think it's great. And it's about $20 most days.
That's not bad.
It is definitely been the better of the $20 I've spent on VR.
What are you playing this in? What's the headset?
Well, I just have the Windows Mixed Reality.
But it plays on there just fine, huh?
Oh, it plays fine. I have a 1050 Ti in my Dell laptop, laptop, yep. And it plays just fine. Now, I have a lot of games that are kind of janky, but that one, smooth.
Should stream yourself playing that, dancing around with that thing on your head?
I want to. I haven't quite figured out how to capture everything, because that's a lot of moving parts. That is a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I did a little bit of that, and it was a huge pain in the butt. I mean, I had a thing. Right. I had a camera set up, so when Carter and I were using what's that drawing software that Google makes? Crap, it's on the Vive.
I'm just talking about. Yeah, it's on the Vive.
Anyway, whatever
it's
that
really
is,
cool.
It's super cool. But we, I can't think of the name of it. Like it's super super interesting to be able to watch yourself while you're doing it. You look real dumb. I can tell you that.
Right.
Big shock, everybody. We all look dumb playing that stuff. All right. I've been playing more Ni No Kuni 2, of course. I'm going to beat that thing. I didn't want to talk too much about it because I rambled on about it last time. That game's great. It's super cool. I think the world should play it. Now, what am I playing next week? Here's my plan. I don't know when I'm streaming this yet, but one of my streaming sessions is going to be Scott playing the entire Educational Museum update to Assassin's Creed Origins. If you haven't seen this, it's basically Assassin's Creed Origins, but a version or a mode that you run where there's no enemies, nothing's going to hurt you. It's just a big, huge open world to go explore. And there's no, all the normal things like assassinate this guy and kill 50 of these and all this other stuff that's not in there. All you're doing is going around to points of interest on the map and go, oh, look at this. This is an old pyramid of some sort. I wonder what this is about. And you go stand in front of it with your dude and you activate it. And then you get like narrated actual educational information about actual Egyptian stuff. Like, this was the place where the great pharaoh Jimmy Jab came down and stuck his wiener in a hole or whatever. And then you got, this pyramid was built by the hands of slaves, unlike the others who were paid in both lodging and food. And like, you get a real historical, like, mini education out of, if you're into that sort of thing, and I totally am. So I'm going to do that. And I want to hang out with people and learn together about how that went. So here we see the fourth dude of the deal, whose statue still today remains in the thing. You know, like that kind of stuff is super interesting to me. So I'm gonna do all that. Brian, what are you gonna play? What are you gonna play?
I'm gonna play spell check first and figure out how you spelled museum. So
how did I spell that? I spelled it mu ezu.
Zoom. I don't know, but I love it. Leave it.
Hold on. What did I do there? It's M-U. It's like muse-um. M-U-S-E-U-M. There.
It's like muse-um. That's how you spelled it. Muse-um.
I typed really fast. That's what I did there.
I love it. Okay, so what was you asking? Oh,
what are you playing next week?
What am I playing next week? Well, that's a good question. I gave a clue, an audio clue, in Guess My Game.
Let's play a game. This is called Guess My Game. Hold on. I need a theme for this. All right, here's our theme for Guess My Game. This may not be it, but we'll see. No, it sucks. Let's see. Try this one. No, how about this one? Wait. Oh, that was freaking loud. All right, that's Guess My Game with Scott and Brian. And Brian has a game he's going to play. And I'm going to play some sound from it now, and you try to guess. I guess I'm going to guess, because I have no idea what this is. I'm going to guess what it is, all right? So here guess goes. It. Brian's Guess My Game. All right. Idea what this is yet.
Got birds and slidey stuff in it.
Okay. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think.
So, okay. Sounds jungly. Are we in the jungle?
Oh, I you know, that's a good question. Is the jungle setting?
I don't know. Wait, is this red-haired lady?
Yeah.
This is the game I loved last year. My brain. Hold on.
Almost there.
Hold on.
I'll give you a hint.
Give me one word.
How about I give you Runic Games? How about that? Would that help any?
No, I already knew they made it. Oh wait, Runic Games. No. Give me the first letter of the first word.
H.
Oh, Horizon Zero Dawn. It's Horizon Zero Dawn.
No, but this character wears a red kind of tunic kind of thing.
Okay, so it's not Horizon.
This game came out in September 26, 2017. It's an action-adventure game developed by Runic.
I know who Runic is. Oh, I have this. They made the Torchlight games.
Yeah.
And by the way, they're the same guys, or some of the same guys that went on to do this Rebel Galaxy game I was telling you about earlier. Mm-hmm. A lot of shared legacy there with the fine folks over at Blizzard. That's called Pupo, Patano, Pepeo.
It starts with an H. Why are you giving me P words?
High roll Jimmy. Hold on. I'm going to find it because I own this. I have this on the.
I guarantee you have it.
Yeah, give me the.
The chat room is guessed it. Ben forgot guest Hob.
Oh, Hob. Yes, it is Hob. It's Hob. Gosh dang it. I knew it was Hob. I knew this. Okay.
So it's been on my wish list for a while, and then I got a Steam card for my birthday, and I was like, yep, get it.
Hob's good. I liked it a lot, actually.
Oh, yeah.
It is, let's see, yeah, September of last year. This is Runic's last game because they announced shortly after this that Runic was breaking up.
Which is maybe super sad.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer, but it's absolutely worth checking out. It was a little rough at launch, had some problems, just glitchy stuff, but apparently that's all cleaned up, and I didn't finish it, but maybe I'll get around to it eventually.
I'm also going to play the PS4 for April. Those two games are going to be Mad Max and Trackmania Turbo. Now, I already have Mad Max for the PC. Yeah. I played a little bit, but I'm kind of excited about Trackmania Turbo. It looks both dumb and fun.
Trackmania is dumb. Super dumb.
All at the same time. Is it just dumb? No fun?
No, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun dumb. Dumb fun.
All right.
Yeah. Dumb You'll be fun. Fine with it. But Mad Max is awesome. It's a great open world game. I mean, I'm a little biased because I love Mad Max everything, but I think the game is highly underrated game. It's really good, and it still looks good, and I still play that game. That game's great.
How about any of these games? Any of these games excite you? Outlast.
I already played it. It's a scary
game. God Eater 2.
Which one? God Eater 2? Probably not. That's like some anime deal. I don't want that.
Right. Mafia 3?
Maybe. If it's on sale or a good deal or free.
Oh, I've got it already for the...
Wait, is that the Mafia, the one set in the 60s? Yeah, that's Mafia 3.
The Mafia 3,
That's the one I never picked up because it was a little lukewarm at launch, and I would definitely get it on a discount or free. You're saying that's free right now.
It looks so good.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, if you got the... If you were already subscribed to the Humble Bundle monthly in before April 6th, then you got it. If not... too bad. You can still buy it. I mean, they're not going to keep you from buying it, but no, you don't get it for free.
It was on sale recently as well on Steam, but I passed that up just because, I don't know, it's not screaming at me, but for the right price, I would play that.
And there's one more that I'm not even sure how to say it, but it's A-E-R, Air, Memories of Old, and it's another one of those beautiful looking in, you know, just atmospheric looking games I'm kind of excited about as well.
I like those. I like some atmosphere in my life. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. All right. Well, this is all good. I'm gonna make you guess a game. I played this
do it
briefly on a MAME emulator. Let's see if you can get what it is.
A MAME emulator. All right.
So guess this game. Any ideas yet? Old arcade game.
Almost sounds like Centipede, but
well, you'd be right about roughly the era. It is, I'll give you a hint, it's a vector game, so vector graphics.
Right.
It appeared to be color. That may
it's
give
not
you a hint.
Quite, it's not quite loud enough to be Yar's Revenge.
No, definitely not that. Chat room's struggling as well. They say Missile Command, Space Invaders, incorrect. Nope, not Millipede.
It's not Millipede? Nope. Oh, that would have been a good guess, though.
Well, it's vector, so you're not talking sprites here. We're talking vector, you know, like asteroids-looking graphics and stuff. Right. So, any ideas, guesses, thoughts?
That's a good... I'm not sure, but I'll tell you this. That sounds fantastic. That is some really good sound design,
isn't
right?
Isn't that cool? I love it. Especially for an old game. So, that is Star Castle, 1981's...
Star Castle,
which was... the reason I say color, but not really, it was one of those early games where they took vector graphics and to spruce things up, they would put tape, sometimes horizontally, sometimes vertically, on the CRT on the screen, and it was colored translucent tape. So you would end up with these circle in the middle was yellow, just outside of that it was red, outside of that it was blue, and the way that this thing would look is it would make it look like the different layers of the star castles that the creatures would be in you were trying to get through would be different colors, even though they really weren't different colors. They were just faking it with this tape on the screen. I really liked Star Castle. I thought it was awesome. And
the audio is way better than the game deserves, right?
I don't know. I think it holds up. It's all right. I mean, if you like an old shootery kind of arcadey thing, I think it's fine. Right. I thought it was fun.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, basically it's what, asteroids, but kind of a little...
It's like stationary asteroids. It's like one asteroid you have to blow yourself through, and it's constantly putting up new walls and trying to keep you out, and it gets harder as you go, and little pieces of it fly off and can heat sink and kill you, and it's cool. It's a cool game.
You know what the greatest lie was during the 80s?
What?
Had to be game art. I mean,
oh yeah,
because man, you get a game and you'd see the artwork on the outside, and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. There's a whole book of this.
Best game ever.
There's a whole book of Atari 2600 art that they just focus on the art. It's so cool, but looks nothing like the game ever.
Yeah, you're not getting anything like this. Use your imagination.
Yeah. Like, here's a chat. Look at some of these. Like, look at that Yars Revenge one. There's no way the game even looked close to that. Right. You got the...
Imagine going to Burger King and seeing the menu up there.
Yeah.
And you think you kind of know what you're going to get.
Yeah. But you don't.
But no.
At least the Pitfall art, like all the Activision art, at least they went kind of simple. So you were like, okay. You know, that's a little more in line with what I've got. But this Pac-Man one, which was a terrible port. It was so bad. The art is actually kind of cool, and I like it. I've always admired it and enjoyed it. But even the dots he's eating in the cover are not dots in the game. They're like bars. It's just, it's so bad. But it's a fun thing. And yes, you're right. The greatest lie ever perpetrated upon man were 80s video game box art.
Which, by the way, Duck Season has tons of those games, and the game boxes are so amazing. You flip them over, and there's descriptions of everything in the game. It's just the attention to detail in that game is just so fantastic. Love it. Yeah,
it's good that you found that. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what we're gonna do, and I think we ought to do this guess my game every week.
I liked it.
Why not? It's a new little segment we'll do on the show.
We'll do it.
I have a quick and painless thing. Doesn't make a lot of sense. I have a quick and painless piece of news that I would like to share real quick.
Excellent.
Not a lot of huge news this week, although a few things. BlizzCon announced new dates for BlizzCon this year. It's the 2nd and 3rd of November. Tickets on sale in May. And a few other things going around. But the big one is that Toys R Us is just about over. Your gift cards, if you have any left for Toys R Us, are expiring in 2 weeks. That's it. That's all the time you have to spend those damn things. So if you're looking for a bag of Furbies or whatever they got left, time to get down to your Toys R Us. You're not going to find a discounted Xbox One X. You're not going to go find a copy of Drake's Revenge or something. You're screwed. I'm telling you, you're screwed now. Pretty much. But if you've got those gift cards, you need to go spend those at the former once proud place to buy all your video games, now going completely out of business nationwide and worldwide, I guess. I don't know if they have stores outside the States. But do you have a Toys R Us near you? Are you going to go clean them out?
We have several, but I've learned a long time ago that going out of business sales are no fun anymore because there's too many middlemen that are specifically liquidators, and all they do is they go in very systematically and they don't give anything away. They just sell you the junk.
They do. You're right.
It used to be good, but now it's very systematic. Their middleman gets, you know, they come in, they buy it really cheap, and I don't know. But I'll tell you what, head to eBay, you'll find plenty of Toys R Us gift cards for really cheap.
Yeah, because they're going quick.
You got to go fast.
By the way, all the stores in the U.S. and the U.K., so there are U.K. stores. I didn't realize that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Going out, being done, that's it for Toys R Us. If you haven't done it yet, get in there and see if you can buy something, because soon you're not going to be able to do anything. And it bums me out. I'm not rooting for this. I'm not happy about it. I think it sucks. I think Toys R Us was an interesting institution, and having it gone is weird.
I'll tell you.
Been there my whole life, man. My whole life it's been there. It's where I bought all my Star Wars action figures back in the day when I was a kid.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it's been a while since they were really top of my list. I had went probably in recently as like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's an institution, right? But yeah.
Not a good one, though. They didn't do a good job. It's that part's plain. They kind of blew it. It's okay, though. We love them and we wish them well. All right, I'm going to take a quick email from Dwayne Rich in Pullman, Washington. Pullman, He says, greetings, Boop Show. Not much news for last week. Not much news for last week, he says. I don't know what he means.
He said, not much news for last week. Not much news for last week.
I don't know what that means. We must have said there was not much news last week or the last time we were on here. But as you can tell today, less focus on news, more focus on games. That's kind of how we're going to do things moving forward. But he says, how about the Arcade Archives releasing Moon Patrol for Switch? Dropped for $8 worth of quarters. I dropped at least $8 worth of quarters playing it back in the 80s. I will easily get my 32 quarters worth having it on the Switch. Is that what it costs? 32 quarters divided by 4. What is that?
Don't do the math.
No, I need to. I need to know. Is that it's $7? What is that? 30.
It's $8.
It's $8.
Eight will go into 32.
No, that's why he was making the reference earlier that he easily put that back in the day, and now he'll do it again. I used to love Moon Patrol, so I'm with him. It's one of the best endless runners at the time. I mean, there wasn't even a genre for that, and that's what they were doing. Had a really nice music. He says it had parallax scrolling. Hard to believe this game came out in 1982. He would have guessed a much later release date. He says his score right now is 26,000 points. The leader on there is about 10 times that with no one else even close to it. He's probably cheating. you guys should challenge each other to a Moon Patrol high score contest. Great show. Look forward to it every week. Dwayne Rich. All right. 100% with you. I'll put out my love and a vote for Moon Patrol. That's a great game. Nothing wrong with Moon Patrol. Did you ever play the Moon Patrol back in the day?
I played the Moon Patrol. I love the Moon Patrol. And more recently, do you remember a time when you could embed Flash games into your websites?
Yes, I do remember this. Yes.
So there was a time when people were taking MAME games and actually able to play them through these Flash players and used to embed these into your website, and it would have the additional benefit of having high score records. And this was one of the games I would often play with my friends. This game, Tetris, Pac-Man. And it was so much fun, that community experience and being able to add it to your website. Of course, totally illegal. I mean, who owns those ROMs?
Yeah, you can't do it now. They don't let you do it now. You're screwed now.
Right.
But
can't do it now, baby.
Well, Moon Patrol, fine. Fine recommendation. I would argue, excuse me, that $8 is a little much for a Switch game for Moon Patrol. I'm just saying.
For Moon Patrol, I mean, I might would pay it like $1.99.
Yeah. I mean, that seems a little pricey, but also I understand that platform and others, when they get this kind of retro stuff, they don't necessarily go on the cheap end. You'll have better luck on mobile or on Steam or something. But anyway, Moon Patrol, catch it.
I'm up to a Moon Patrol challenge to see who could score the highest.
Why not?
We will pick a platform. May not happen this next week, but we'll keep it in mind. I like challenges. Challenges!
Well, it might be MAME that we do it on. We'll see.
Yeah, right.
There you go. That's an email was sent to us to boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. That came from Dwayne. And you can send your own in. We'll read it right here on the show. Again, boopshow@gmail.com. Speaking of web things, frogpants.com/BOOP is our website. You can find all the archives and everything else you might need right there at frogpants.com/boop. You can find us on Twitter @boopshow. You can find Brian @TheBrianDunaway. You can find me @ScottJohnson. And we'll be back next week with more. Do you got anything else you want to say, mention,
dude? No, check out my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/BrianDunaway.
Yeah, do that.
No,
just Brian Dunaway on Twitch. I'm at twitch.tv/frogpants. Or you can just go to frogpants.tv, it forwards there. And check out all the live shows. And speaking of which, if you're listening to this going, man, that'd be cool if I came to a live taping of the Boop Show. That's easy. Mondays, 3:30 Mountain Time, 4:30 middle of the country. What's that called? Central Time. And 5:30 Eastern for the live Boop Show. For you folks on the West Coast, that's 2:30 in the afternoon. If you can make it, we do it every Monday, unless we tell you otherwise. So come on out for yet another edition of the Boop Show. I think that's going to do it for us. Am I missing anything? No. Frogpants.com for all the other stuff we do. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.